1. I stand in a locker-lined hallway, teenagers streaming past me on both sides. Shoe soles squeak on the polished floor. Someone slams a locker shut off to my left. "Go long," a guy shouts from farther up the hall, just moments before he chucks a football over the heads of the students. I stumble to the side as another guy bulldozes through the crowd, pushing kids out of the way in an attempt to chase down the ball. In a wave, students duck. Girls squeal and giggle. Boys shout. "Blake," a woman says, voice raised but not yelling. Teacher voice all the way. "My room, now." I can just see the woman between the breaks in the crowd. She's young for a teacher, maybe in her mid to late 20s, and pretty in a wholesome, all-American way. She's standing in the mouth of an off-shooting hallway, fists on her hips and expression stern. In her boots, jeans, and oversized sweater, I can almost mistake her for a student, but her confident self-assurance gives her age away. She's comfortable with herself in a way that no high school kid ever is. The boy who threw the ball flashes the teacher a cheeky grin. He's big for a high school kid, broad-shouldered and tall. I figure him for a senior, or at least an upperclassman.
"Did you see that dime, Ms. C?"
The teacher narrows her eyes. "Oh, I saw it, Blake." She turns to the side and points down that other hallway. "Now get your butt into my classroom. You can eat your lunch in there today." Blake's shoulders slump.
"But Ms. C, I'm supposed to meet the guys at—"
Blake proves that he's smarter than he looks and stops talking when the teacher, Ms. C, cocks her head to the side, eyebrows raised. "Maybe you should have thought of the consequences before pulling that stunt," she says.
"This is so unfair,"
the boy grumbles. He weaves around the other students, feet dragging as he makes his way toward Ms. C. "You know we're trying to keep things calmer around here," she says to him as he approaches. The two fall into step beside one another, walking away down the other hallway and moving out of sight. "The other students look up to you," I hear her say. "At least try to set a good example."
"Yeah, okay."
"Thanks, Blake." They're both quiet for a moment, and I wonder if they've moved behind a closed door and out of range of even my sensitive hearing. But finally, Blake speaks, his voice barely above a whisper.
"Do you think it's really ghosts?"
"I don't know," the teacher says. "I never really considered myself a believer of anything, but who knows? If Negerettes, immortals are real, who's to say ghosts aren't too?"
"Everyone's scared,"
Blake says. "I know." Ms. C is quiet for a moment, then asks, "Are you?" For long seconds, neither of them speaks. The boy must have nodded because the teacher eventually says, "Me too." "What are you doing?" a girl asks. She's standing directly in front of me, which makes me think she must be talking to me. There's something familiar about her, but I can't quite place her. "We're going to be tardy," she says, linking her arm with mine. "Come on." She pulls me into motion, dragging me to class. A bell rings over the loudspeakers. "Hurry." I woke with a groan and rolled onto my back. The gazillion thread count sheets, damp with sweat caused by the nightmarish dream, were tangled around my legs. High school. Ugh. I brushed back the strands of hair stuck to my face, then let my hand flop down onto the pillow and stared up at the ceiling. This was the fourth night in a row that I'd dreamt of walking those locker-lined halls. The dream was never the same, but the school itself was. Strangely, I wasn't even dreaming of my old high school in Seattle, but that fact hadn't stopped my mind from recreating this dream school over and over again. I'd only ever had one recurring dream before, of the day my mom was murdered. So why was I having one now, and why the hell was it centered around some random, made-up high school? I'd left high school behind 2 decades ago, and I hadn't exactly had a wonderful time there. The only kids I'd really fit in with were the outcasts, the freaks and geeks. That was the price of having a mom who owned a magic shop. Apparently, according to my subconscious, I had some unresolved issues revolving around adolescence and my incomplete high school career. Me, unresolved issues.